Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 389, titled Update on Operation Green Quest. This is being recorded on December 2nd of 2002, and before I get into the substance of this broadcast, which will be 1.5 hour in length, we are going to let me remind you that there will be a detailed article-length description of this program in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com within a week or so of the broadcast of this program. Be aware also that sister station WFMU-FM is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs streaming at WFMU.org/Dave Emery. Older programs for download only at a longer URL linked to the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com and to the WFMU.org. .org/Dave Emery website. At this point, the entire For the Record series through program number 385 is online, okay? And many of those are streaming. The title of the broadcast, Operation Green Quest, refers to the effort at interdicting the flow of funds to, among other organizations, Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda group. And in turn, a lawsuit was filed by John Loftus, a former military officer and Justice Department official with a high security clearance who has been acting as counsel for a number of veteran U.S., British, former Soviet, and Israeli intelligence operatives. And his lawsuit that was filed some years back against Sami Al-Arian, a professor, former professor now, at the University of South Florida, precipitated some documentation which, when given to the Treasury Department, resulted in a massive series of raids on March 20th in which a number of Islamic charities and business organizations linked to the fanatical Islamo-fascist Wahhabi sect of Islam were raided. And it turns out that many of these business interests and Islamic charities not only overlap the milieu of the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamo-fascist organization that dates back to the period between the world wars, it also dovetails with the Al-Taqwa/NADA management organization, and it also overlaps the Wahhabi connections to not only some of the Bush family business interests, but perhaps even more importantly, to the ethnic outreach section of the Republican Party itself. This, under the circumstances, a concrete link between not just the Bush family, but the Republican Party and the Third Reich, if one traces the roots of the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Bush administration. And these are linked to Al-Qaeda. I've talked about the Green Quest situation in the past, and I've spoken about Operation Green Quest and, For the Record, 356, 357, Program 359, and a number of succeeding broadcasts, most recently in For the Record Program number 387, an interview with Lucy Commissar. There was an article in the paper just a few days ago in this was in reference to the lawsuit that has been filed by survivors of some of the victims of September 11th. The San Francisco Chronicle, among other newspapers, of Saturday, November 23rd of 2002, carried the following story. This is by Henry Weinstein of the L.A. Times, headlined, 9/11 Victim Suit Expanded, subheaded, New Defendants in Trillion-Dollar Case Includes Saudi Royals. We've spoken about that before, but skipping down, a new defendant in this lawsuit, which is now within the court system, is the bank Al-Taqwa. Skipping down in this story from 11/23/2002, a Chronicle accessing an L.A. Times story, Bank Al-Taqwa Limited of Nassau, Bahamas, raises, manages, invests, and distributes funds for Al-Qaeda. President Bush called for a freeze on the bank's assets last November. Well, as discussed in a number of programs, notably among, in addition to the ones already mentioned, For the Record programs number 377 and 378 and 382, among the institutions that overlaps now this lawsuit is the bank Al-Taqwa, a front for the Muslim Brotherhood. It was one of the main financial organizations of the Muslim Brotherhood. Its director, Youssef Nada, had, according to Egyptian intelligence files, worked for the Abwehr, Third Reich military intelligence in World War II. One of his close associates, Ahmed Huber, was in turn a protege of Johann von Leers, who was in charge of anti-Semitic propaganda for Goebbels' propaganda ministry in World War II, later functioned in a similar capacity for the, quote, Institute for the Study of Zionism run by Nasser in Egypt. The thing that's so interesting now about Al-Taqwa being, well, there are a lot of interesting things about this, but with Al-Taqwa now being officially added to the list of defendants in this lawsuit, we now have within the U.S. court system a very important law case that focuses on defendants that not only include the Third Reich, but the milieu of Al-Qaeda, at least the antecedents of the Third Reich and now the Underground Reich, but Al-Qaeda and the Bush administration and business contacts of the Bush family and the Republican Party per se. And again, I can't stress this strongly enough, that this is a link between the Republican Party and a lawsuit that is now in the U.S. court system and the Third Reich and Al-Qaeda. And if the broad spectrum of people who are dissatisfied with what is going on, ranging from dedicated and conservative military officers and former military officers, such as former Secretary of the Navy James Webb, on through many conservatives who are appalled at the Homeland Security bill, on up to the many people who are worried about what it may very well take place with the military situation in Iraq, something that not only threatens to distract from the effort at neutralizing Al-Qaeda, but something which, according to many analysts within the intelligence community, threatens to do what George Bush says is being done, which is to extend Saddam Hussein's weapons capacity to the very terrorist networks that we are told we have to protect ourselves against. As I've said before, and this is a very complicated state of affairs, I believe the United States, with the Underground Reich manipulating it, the Arab world, the Israeli right wing, all at the same time, is now walking into a trap, an economic and geopolitical and military trap that is designed basically as a let's you and him fight scenario, sort of a Machiavellian stratagem in order to get, basically, when you ain't got enough troops to kill the Jews and the Arabs and the Americans at the same time, get them to kill each other, and you've accomplished your goals. By the way, there is now, as I've said, the lawsuit within the U.S. court system that addresses many of these things. The U.S. District Court, District of Columbia, is the court in which this lawsuit was filed. It is civil action case number 1:02 Carrier Victor 01616. That case number again in the U.S. District Court, District of Columbia, civil action case number 1:02 Charlie Victor 01616. And among the list of defendants, and you can find this on page 104, are Khalid bin Mahfouz of the BCCI. Khalid bin Mahfouz also linked to the Green Quest raids and the SAR Foundation. Khalid bin Mahfouz linked to the National Central Bank of Saudi Arabia and to the Bush family through numerous business connections. Yassin Al-Qadi, about whom you're going to hear more, another individual implicated in the Green Quest March 20th raids. The various members of the Al-Raji family, for whom the SAR Foundation is named, S-A-A-R. We spoke about that in, for the record, 382, among other broadcasts. A very good front-page story on the Washington Post of October 7th of this year has some very important information about SAR, about the Al-Raji family, about the Al-Taqwa network, and about the Muslim Brotherhood. Other people implicated, other defendants in this lawsuit are Mr. Adel Abdul Baterji, another member, another person linked to the SAR network, Yaqub Mirza, on whom who has set up a number of businesses, nonprofits, and Muslim charities. Among the people that sit on the board of directors of Yaqub Mirza operations is Talat Atman, who is a close friend of the Bush family, an investor on the board of directors of Harkin Energy. Talat Atman gave a Muslim benediction at the Republican convention in 2000, and on April 4th of this year, he arranged a meeting with Treasury Secretary O'Neill to intercede on behalf of the people and interests that were targeted on the March 20th raids. Yaqub Mirza, M-I-R-Z-A, is another of the defendants in this lawsuit. Among the other defendants are the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, the Global Relief Foundation, Jamal Barzinji, another associate of Youssef Nada, and the Al-Taqwa Network. Jamal Barzinji, associated with the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, and members of the Bin Laden family. And Barzinji also sits on the board of the Islamic Institute, headed by Khaled Safouri and Grover Norquist. Grover Norquist, one of the most prominent GOP operatives, and an individual who's been heavily involved with the, quote, tax reform, unquote, movement, which is the exact opposite. That's sort of like the final solution to the tax problem, which is complete bankruptcy and social chaos if one follows the fiscal imperatives of the Republican agenda. Also, not incidentally, the destruction of the United States. You bankrupt the United States, you destroy its economic power, you have basically destroyed the United States itself, and I think that is part of the goal of this geopolitical trap that we are walking into. Other institutes that have been focused on in the March 20th lawsuit, the International Institute of Islamic Thought, the Safa Trust, the Sterling Institute, the aforementioned SAR Foundation, Sharif Sedki, Hisham Al-Talib. And those are all individuals and institutions linked not only to the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th, but also to the milieu of Al-Taqwa. And I cannot stress strongly enough the importance of this lawsuit. This is something that is not getting discussed. By the way, a couple of the key sources, the Wall Street Journal of March 22nd of this year, at a very, very important story in the Wall Street Journal of April 18th on page A4 by Glenn Simpson, not exactly a fringe or leftist source. And it's a very, very important story indeed. And that discusses Talat Otman, a director of Harkin Energy, associate of the Bush family, an individual who sits on the boards of directors and is an associate of the Green Quest milieu. Talat Otman interceded on behalf of the targets of the March 20th raids. So again, there's a fair amount of information about this that's getting out there. Unfortunately, most people aren't pursuing it. However, that is the purpose of For the Record. And having said that, let's take a look at a very important story from the front page of the Wall Street Journal of Tuesday, November 22nd of the year 2002. The Wall Street Journal, by the way, is an important paper to read. Its editorial page should, in my opinion, be declared a Superfund site, but it's got some damn good reportage and some really good news sources. I don't think that it was any accident that Daniel Pearl was targeted by some of the Al-Qaeda operatives. The Wall Street Journal has been doing a damn good job on some of the terror financing trail. Again, its editorial page should be declared a Superfund site, but that's like a lot of things, I'm afraid, these days. The lead story in the Wall Street Journal of Tuesday, November 26th of 2002, was by Glenn R. Simpson, who's been doing some of the best work about Operation Green Quest and the lonely pursuit of the Al-Qaeda terrorist funding networks. This article is called Tracing the Money, Terror Investigators Run Into Mr. Qadi. That's Yassin Qadi, one of the defendants in the aforementioned lawsuit. It's subtitled, Saudi businessman's deals are under U.S. scrutiny. He denies wrongdoing, the $2.1 million that vanished. Now, note again here, there will be references to not only Yassin Qadi, but to the Saudi-backed charities in Virginia and Maryland. Those are the targets of the March 20th Green Quest raids. Those are the links between Al-Taqwa, Al-Qaeda, the Third Reich, the Republican Party, and the Bush family and the Bush administration. This article reads in part, Yassin Qadi is a tall, bearded businessman whose financial interests in the 1990s spanned the globe from Jeddah to Malaysia to the suburbs of Washington. In Saudi Arabia, he is known as pious, wealthy, and mild-mannered. In the U.S., he is seen by government investigators as a leading member of a global network that finances both Islamic good works and terrorism. 1 month after the September 11th attacks, the U.S. Treasury labeled Mr. Qadi, who is 47 years old, a, quote, specially designated global terrorist, unquote, and froze his assets in the U.S. and Europe. The government says that Mr. Qadi and organizations he controls move money from Saudi sources through numerous businesses and charities worldwide. Some of the money ends up in the hands of terrorists, the U.S. says. Mr. Cotty declines to comment, but through his lawyers, he denies ever knowingly doing business with terrorists or financing them. He hasn't been prosecuted, and his attorneys are trying to persuade the Treasury of his innocence. By the way, Talat Otman has been trying to do much the same thing on behalf of these same interests. Talat Otman has revealed, by the way, in the July 12th, on the front page of the July 12th LA Times, was on the audit committee of Harkin Energy and approved the Aloha Petroleum deal that helped to enrich George Bush and was exactly the kind of transaction that Enron has been engaged in and that George Bush hypocritically attacked. Continuing. Of Yassine Cotty, we read, pieced together from U.S. court filings and interviews, some of Mr. Cotty's financial activities and relationships offer tentative answers to two key questions. How does money get from wealthy Saudis and Saudi charities to extremist groups around the world, and why does some of it move through the United States? In one case, Mr. Cotty gave $820,000 to a Chicago charity that subsequently gave funds to a man convicted in Israel of helping to buy weapons for Hamas, the Palestinian group known for sponsoring terror attacks against Israel. In a second instance, a Saudi-backed charity in Virginia invested $2.1 million in a real estate company that shared offices with a New Jersey firm owned by Mr. Cotty, and the money disappeared. U.S. investigators say they have evidence suggesting that the real estate company in which Mr. Cotty formerly was an investor may later have provided funds for terrorism abroad. In a third case, the U.S. arm of a Malaysian company of which Mr. Cotty was a director, along with that same Saudi-backed charity in Virginia, invested in a Chicago company that was stockpiling dangerous chemicals. The Chicago company was headed by a man whom U.S. officials suspect of being a Hamas associate. Some U.S. officials say all of this complexity is designed to shield wealthy Saudis from direct association with extremist groups. Quote, it looked bad for people in Saudi Arabia to be writing checks from a bank in Riyadh to Hamas, unquote, says Mark Flessner, a former federal prosecutor. He spent years tracking Mr. Cotty and suspected terrorist cells in Chicago as part of a Justice Department probe in the late 1990s known as Operation Vulgar Betrayal. Sponsors of extremist groups, quote, were able to hide their Saudi financial sources by bringing funds into and through the United States, Mr. Flessner says. The investigation ended with indictments in 1999, but recently has been restarted. The Saudi money moves through the U.S. for the same reasons that attract other global investors, Mr. Flessner says. American financial institutions are reliable, and until recently, transfers from U.S. banks to the Middle East rarely provoked suspicion. Before September 11th, Islamic charitable and religious organizations in this country received relatively little scrutiny from law enforcement. I would add that one of the sticky wickets here is that not only is giving a certain amount to the poor, to charity, mandated by Islamic law, but many of these charities also function as what they purport to be, and indeed that the reality of Islam, as it has been generally codified in the Hadith, basically is very different than Wahhabism. It is neither anti-Semitic, with the Prophet Muhammad having basically forbade the forced conversions of Jews, the Prophet Muhammad having been reliably, according to the Hadith, regarded as always bowing when a Jewish funeral passed by. It is also stated in the Hadith, or codified in the Hadith, that people of the book, meaning Christian Jews and Muslims, would, if they lived righteous lives, go to heaven. It also, that is to say, the Hadith codifies that Islam is not, as a matter of doctrine, repressive of women's rights. Prophet Muhammad maintained that and basically, he made it clear in the through the Hadith, or codified through the Hadith, that his wife was a merchant, and that when they drove their cart to market, she drove. This is all at fundamental variance with Wahhabism. Anyway, moving on about the Operation Green Quest, one should note that what we're talking about here is Wahhabism or Islamofascism. It is in danger of dominating the Muslim world. It is not, however, representative of traditional Islam as practiced by most of the world. Unfortunately, oil wealth has made Saudi Arabia the dominant force, arguably, in Islam worldwide, and that has corrupted it. Returning to the Wall Street Journal of 11/26, speaking of Yasin Qadhi, now based in Jeddah, he has invested in companies that dig diamonds in South Africa, sell medical equipment from the U.S., and organizes pilgrimages to Saudi sites. Some of his wealth comes from a consulting firm incorporated in Saudi Arabia and the Isle of Man that advises wealthy Muslims on how to invest while observing Islamic rules such as the prohibition on interest. None of these companies have been implicated in terrorism financing. The U.S. has cited Mr. Qadhi as a supporter of terrorism for his alleged financial ties not just to Hamas but also to Osama bin Laden. The government says Mr. Qadhi helped set up and fund an Islamic charity in Europe and Africa that has provided millions of dollars to Mr. bin Laden's Al-Qaeda organization. The chain of events that would eventually land Mr. Qadhi on the U.S. government's list of backers of terrorism began in 1991. Acting through one of his companies, Qadhi International, Mr. Qadhi transferred $820,000 from a Swiss bank account to the Quranic Literacy Institute, a suburban Chicago group that distributes Muslim texts. Mr. Qadhi's lawyers and the FBI, acting through one of his companies, Qadhi International, Mr. Qadhi transferred $820,000 from a Swiss bank account to the Quranic Literacy Institute, a suburban Chicago group that distributes Muslim texts, Mr. Qadhi's lawyers and the FBI say. In May of that year, the Quranic Institute used the money to purchase several acres in Woodridge, a quiet town of 30,000, about 25 miles southwest of Chicago. Then the article goes on to describe the apparent transfer of funds from that real estate deal to Hamas, among other organizations. Skipping down, in March, this is the Green Quest raids, federal agents led by the Customs Service raided the International Relief Organization and a dozen other related Islamic charities and companies in Northern Virginia. This again, the all-important March 20th Green Quest raids. Beginning again in March, federal agents led by the Customs Service raided the International Relief Organization and a dozen other related Islamic charities and companies in Northern Virginia as part of an investigation into support for terrorism, money laundering, and fraud. About a decade earlier, International Relief was flush with cash after a $10 million infusion from Saudi donors, according to subsequent testimony by the charity's officials in federal court in Greenbelt, Maryland. FBI court filings show that during this period, the charity received $400,000 in funding from the Saudi embassy in Washington. In 1992, International Relief gave $2.1 million to a company called BMI Incorporated to invest in real estate in Washington's Maryland suburbs, the officials testified. BMI, which stands for the Arabic Bayt ul-Mal, or House of Finance, for years shared offices with Mr. Qadhi's Qadhi International in Secaucus, New Jersey. Through his lawyers, Mr. Qadhi says he was a, quote, investor in BMI but cashed out in 1996. BMI's other investors include Musa Abu Marzouk, a top Hamas leader based in Syria, according to a March 2000 affidavit by the FBI's Mr. Wright. That's Wright. Now defunct, BMI described itself as an Islamic bank and solicited investments by means of pamphlets distributed at Muslim gatherings. Records on BMI's financing, as well as other information about Mr. Qadhi, were obtained from researchers for Washington-based terrorism analyst Stephen Emerson. And skipping down, U.S. investigators say they have established a link between BMI, the company to which Mr. Qadhi had ties, and an Islamic charity called Mercy International. Note that name. Records that surfaced during the prosecution in 2000 and 2001 of Al-Qaeda figures involved in the East Africa bombings show that a charity by that name in Nairobi, Kenya, helped support the embassy attacks. Mr. Qadhi's lawyers say he is not aware, unquote, of any connection between BMI and Mercy International. We're going to come back to Mercy International in a minute. Another ominous connection here. Speaking of a company called Abrar Investments Incorporated, skipping down, Abrar and International Relief Organization jointly invested more than $2 million in Global Chemical Corporation, which said it made household and pool cleaning supplies, skipping down. Global Chemical kept a warehouse full of highly toxic chemicals but appeared to have few, if any, customers, according to the Donahue affidavit. Alarmed, the FBI asked one of the government's senior experts on chemical weapons, Dennis J. Reuter, chief of the Army's Material Command Treaty Laboratory in Edgewood, Maryland, to look at the chemicals Global Chemical was purchasing. The FBI included an ominous excerpt from Mr. Reuter's October 23, 1996 report in Ms. Donahue's affidavit. The purchases, he wrote, quote, do not appear to be consistent with research and development for formulation of commercial cleaning products or for quality control of commercial cleaning products. The names of the chemicals weren't made public. His report concluded that, quote, taken in total, the purchases appear to be more consistent with support, unquote, of a laboratory performing biochemistry or, quote, organic synthesis, unquote. So note again the link between BMI Global Chemical, Mr. Coddy, and also Mercy International. We're going to review very quickly a little bit about Mercy International. This from the book Dollars for Terror, subtitled The United States in Islam by Richard LaBeviere, published in 2000 by the Algora Press, copyright 2000 in English. This book came out in 1999 in France. Speaking of Mercy International, the Milanese Connection, and this talks about Mercy International, the Milanese Connection originates in the Bahamas. Since leaving its first head office in Nassau, Altaqua established itself at NIGH, Nasruddin International Group Holdings, 10 Dewar Street in Nassau. And skipping down, but Nasruddin Ahmed Idris's real representative at the head of Gulf Office, again linked to, among other things, the Clean Hands investigation into Silvio Berlusconi, other evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of the P2 Lodge, the Alleanza Nazionale, the Italian Fascist Party that was a successor to Mussolini's Fascisti, and the MSI, and also the link, what are the connections between Bank Altaqua and Banco del Gottardo, the Swiss subsidiary of the Banco Ambrosiano, but again, of Altaqua and Mercy International, linked to Al-Qaeda. But Nasruddin Ahmed Idris's real representative at the head of Gulf Office is another member of the Muslim Brothers, Khaldun Diya Eddine, who belongs to the Syrian branch of the organization. He, too, was, quote, employed, unquote, by the bank Altaqua, which he represented in Lugano, before he took on the coordination of the activities of Mercy International, an Islamic humanitarian organization. Skipping down, the humanitarian organizations, Islamic non-governmental organizations, represent one of the other derivative products from Altaqua. Mercy International is a Swiss association founded on May 13, 1989. Its charter specifies that its goals encompass, quote, all humanitarian actions, especially in the cases of natural catastrophe and war. And we've spoken about Mercy International at considerable length in, among other programs, For the Record program 351, and also in number 349. And Mercy International moved its headquarters to the United States in the late 1990s. The Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com will have a detailed annotated description in the For the Record section of For the Record 389 within a week of this broadcast. Note also that wfmu.org/Dave Emery has more recent broadcasts streaming. There's another longer URL with the rest of the For the Record series for download only on Real Audio, linked to the spitfirelist.com and WFMU.org/Dave Emery websites. This concludes For the Record 389, update on Operation Green Quest, being recorded on December 2nd of 2002. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.